In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the days of Ahaz, the king of Judah, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This was the prophecy of Isaiah, given in a time of great tribulation. Ahaz, which was king of Judah, was confronted by two enemies and subservient to a third. King Rezin, king of Damascus, and Pekah, king of Israel, had joined together to force Judah into a rebellion against Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. Isaiah warned Ahaz not to enter into this conspiracy, and he offered unto Ahaz the opportunity to ask from God a sign of God's favor, of God's presence, of God's faithfulness. Ahaz, sanctimonious, hypocritical, said, I do not dare tempt the Lord my God. I will not dare to ask of Almighty God a sign. This was a false sanctity, a false humility, as we well know from the account of Ahaz's reign in Holy Scripture. And thus the Lord God himself determined to give not unto Ahaz, but unto the children of Judah, unto his chosen people, a son. Behold, says the prophet, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this shall be a sign unto you. A sign from God. How marvelous! How glorious! And that Ahaz did not wait it. Ahaz did not wait to see a sign from God, to hear the words of the prophet. Could anyone be so false and proud, so ignorant, so unfeeling as not to want to hear from God or to see from God's majesty a sign? God dared to show himself to man, and yet Ahaz would run from God, as so many have run from God. God is faithful and enduring and wants his people to know him. And yet here, the king of the chosen people, of that chosen tribe of Judah from which the Redeemer would come, the king turned and did not want a sign from God. How often have nations prayed that God would give them a sign, that God would be with them? Did not the children of Israel proclaim loudly that they were the chosen people, that God was with them? But the king did not understand. How often have we read throughout history of nations and empires which claimed God as their Lord? The Holy Roman Empire of the German nation was for many the kingdom of God on earth. And yet, as Voltaire rightly said, it was neither holy, Roman, nor empire. The German soldiers in World War I marched into battle with both Mutzen and their birth suffer. So also in World War II, both Mutzen, God with us, marched on the birth suffer of German soldiers with a crooked and twisted cross. Prophet, How often do we pledge allegiance and say that we are one nation under God, that God is with us? And how often do we pray that God will be with us and with those who are held hostage in foreign lands? How often do nations claim to be under God, claim to have God with them, and yet display none of that charity, that love, that spirit of humility which God calls forth from the charity? It is as if we want God to be with us, to protect us, to defend us, to strengthen us, to honor our will, to enable us to accomplish our goals, rather than the other way around. Are we truly under God? And what can be said of nations can be said of churches, of families, of individuals. We pray that God would be with us, that He would enlighten us and strengthen us and guide us and save us. We pray in the seven great old antiphons, O come, O come, O wisdom from on high. O come, O King. O come, King of David, you suggest. O come and strengthen and save us. Do we mean it? God has promised to come. God has promised to give us a son, and He has given us a son. He has deigned to come down and reveal Himself to us. Not with power and glory, not with the might of the heavenly army and the majesty of the heavenly kingdom, but in the simple event of the birth of a child, a miraculous event. God uses this event, the birth of a child, to give man a sign. Behold, says the prophet, a virgin will conceive, not by the power of man, but by the power of God, and shall bring forth a son, and this son shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God has given a sign to His people Israel. He fulfilled their longing, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be come. And Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and there she gave birth to a son, Jesus, our Savior, God with us, the Emmanuel, the promised Redeemer, the Son of God. And there were those in those days who repudiated it. So also today, the simple event, the simple words of the prophecy, are so often discounted. Men look for mighty acts of God, which would overwhelm man. They look to a God and for a message from a God which would be increasing with their conception of God. Yet God deigns to give us a sign of His faithfulness. He says, trust in me, for I have come to be with you. I have come to be one. What a great mystery. Words cannot express it. No poet, no author can express it as clearly as do the words of the prophets and the evangelists. It is a great mystery before which we bow in awe. We trust in God. He is with us. He has come to bear our infirmities, to bear our sins. We pray that God would be with us, and that He would give gave us the humility to see his Son. For this is what we pray in this great season of Advent. This is what we commemorate in this great season of Advent with our solemn joy. That God who has come would come again to us to enable us to see this great mystery which has come to pass, that with the shepherds we go even into Bethlehem and see the glory of God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the babe of Bethlehem, so that we remain with him even unto the end of time. Lord, our God, be with us. And may we be kept in thee.